The Slim Fast 14-day effect on your New Year's resolution. Day one, the new year. You want to kick it off with a bang, and you're not just talking about fireworks. Day 14, you're ready to start this year right, looking great and preferably on top.
2 weeks is all it takes to get what you really want. Swap two meals a day for Slim Fast protein shakes or bars, get in a 30-minute workout, and stick to a 1,200-calorie diet to lose up to 6 pounds in your first 14 days. Find Slim Fast in a store near you.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
Gene Johnson. AfterBuzz TV. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Supernatural After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Supernatural After Show.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, everybody, to the Supernatural After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I am Tom Connolly, and we're listening to some First Cut is the Deepest here. And sitting across from me is Travis Master. How are you doing, Travis?
I'm doing good, Tom.
And sitting next to him, back this week, Lindsay Wagner.
Hey, guys. So good
doing?
To be back. Thank you.
Good to have you back.
I've missed you all.
We missed you.
And I just want to let you guys know, since I know you're very, very interested,
yes.
With Slim Fast, 2 weeks is all it takes to get what you really want. In 14 days, the only thing higher than your confidence will be your hemline. This podcast is brought to you by Slim Fast. So thank you, Slim Fast.
Awesome.
And thank
just,
you, Slim
you know,
Fast.
Sharing that with you guys. Since awesome. You're running a
triathlon
soon.
Yes.
And Travis a cut month. His hair. So, I mean, there's just been so many changes since I've been gone.
We don't even know what's going on anymore. Don't even know what's going on. So let's get into this episode. Season 9, episode 11, titled Firstborn. This title really doesn't have much to do with what this episode was about.
Well, a little bit.
First.
Cain is.
The word first.
Cain is the firstborn.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Oh, right. We're,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Sorry.
Okay. Now we made the connection.
We've outed ourselves as heathens. Thanks, Lindsay.
Sorry.
What'd you guys think overall of this episode tonight?
I thought it was great. First off, it was just nice watching it with you guys and not watching it by myself later on. It was nice watching it with you guys. I thought it was. I don't like seeing Dean and Sam apart. I like seeing them work together. But I think this was really beneficial for the episode. And I loved that Dean was working with Crowley. Awesome. Made me so happy. So cool to see. Because that was my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this episode. It was fantastic. A fantastic return to form for the show being great. I kind of like seeing the Winchesters split up because we've seen them together so much and they're always just lying to each other and at odds. And I like seeing some of that real fallout for this episode. We'll see what happens next week.
I have to say I agree with both of you. I mean, Sam or Dean and Crowley, perfect together. I want a spinoff show of that. I could deal without having Sam around for a while.
He's fine. He's kind of a wet blanket.
Yeah, Sam.
I like Sam though. He's a wet blanket.
I'm always the fan of Dean, and I think we talked about that a few episodes ago when we were doing it. That I was always a Dean fan, but this episode, especially with the whole syringe and needle thing, and the way that Sam was, and all of a sudden I'm all about, like, it's always about me, and now I'm not worth more than anybody else's life. And then his, like, emotion with Cass, that really, really made me like him more.
I liked it a lot, too. I even wrote down that death actualization is a big theme, and I don't even know if that makes sense, but I like that this season the Winchesters are realizing that death has consequences, and they can't just mow down person after person, that doesn't mean anything. It's starting to really affect them.
Because I think the people closest to them are really getting there. I mean, Kevin getting killed.
The people closest to them, Tom.
Every time.
They're all dead, the people closest to them.
Well, the people
all died.
The people they've come in contact with over the last couple years and have grown closer with have died.
Yeah, so, the new batch, the latest freshmen are dead now.
the freshman class mm-hmm. that never makes it to the sophomore class.
Except for the one of them that's in Oz?
Yes, yeah. Charlie oh, yeah. is still I don't want to out there.
It. I'm sorry I brought it up. I don't even want to talk about that.
but yeah, this, you know, it was Dean and Crowley searching for the first blade, which is the only blade that can kill a knight of hell, that can kill Abaddon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Dean and Crowley are just, they're just gold together. Just mm-hmm. one-liners after another. I couldn't write down enough of them mm-hmm. as I was going. But, you know.
Yeah, they're really, really good at writing for Crowley.
Yes.
Without making it sound cheesy or winking mm-hmm. too much. Even when they do kind of wink at the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. Like, do we have time for a montage?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really cute stuff like that. They never overstep their boundaries, and they always know exactly when to drop it in and when to pull it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we had Sam and Cass, you know, in the bunker.
More emotional and sympathetic.
Did that feel awkward to you guys?
Them together?
Them together.
Kind of, at first.
Well, they're both very, very... Well, Cass is very sensitive and in touch, and now, especially since he was human, I think he's become more aware of these things, obviously, as we find out with the PB&J, and noticing all these different things. So I guess maybe there was a little bit... Maybe it was... I mean, as we saw, mm-hmm. CW has honored them with the... Best bromance,
yes.
Cass, Sam, and Dean. So
no,
clearly,
People's Choice Award.
Yeah. But I mean, we see that with the two of them there, so it could be a little.
Yeah, I like that you bring that up. I really love the way that Misha, even though he's not human anymore, is still acting through Cass a little more relaxed because mm-hmm. he does have not as much as when he was human, but he does have that extra layer of understanding. Mm-hmm. So he is still a little more loose and not quite as uptight as he was.
Yeah, Once he's almost longing to be more human.
He just wants sandwiches.
Yeah, he just wants a PB&J, is what we found
Without
out.
Without jam.
Just jelly.
No jam.
Grape
it's
jelly.
It's unsettling.
Grape jelly is what he needs.
He finds jam unsettling. Mm.
And I'm sure he's going to get so much grape jelly and peanut butter sent to him.
Fan sandwiches.
Just bottles and bottles and jars of it sent to him. So I kind of...
But I felt like... Not just the characters, because the characters obviously haven't had that much interaction. You know, Cass is more Dean's boyfriend, and they haven't had a lot of interactions. But I especially, like, when they hugged at the end, I kept expecting Sam to, like, pull out the syringe and, like, steal Cass's grace. I thought something bad was going to happen.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I was on the edge of my seat. But I was like, this is so weird. What's going to happen? I was like, oh, it's just a weird Voldemort hug. They just don't know how to go together.
You have to squeeze.
And I don't know if that's a choice that the actors are making or if they're just not. I mean, they're all bros, though, so
yeah,
they've got to be fine.
No, I think it's just how many times can you really – I feel like I can count on my hand or, you know – How many times have Sam and Cass really been together by themselves without Dean around?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, yeah. Not many. It's always,
It's more Dean and Cass.
Yeah. So I think it would be that awkwardness. And plus, after what they all just went through, like, Cass was, you know, almost kind of against them not wanting, you know, when they were doing the trials mm-hmm. last season.
Sure. He's been against them a handful of times.
Yeah, exactly. Which he said, he was like, you know... Mm-hmm. He's like, I betrayed you and your brother without you even knowing. And I was like, oh, yep. Oh, because Sam called him a terrible liar.
Yeah, so. That was cute.
But, yeah, so Cass goes to heal Sam and finds that there's still grace left inside of him from Gadriel.
Sure, I can get on board with that.
Yes.
That's fine.
And they, you know, it's just basically some sort of essence that I guess an angel leaves behind
just
when they leave a body.
Extra goo sticking to the ribs.
Yeah. So they find a syringe. This syringe that
big Tex Avery syringe.
Yeah,
The men of letters.
Men of letters have, you know, they never had a guinea pig for this, and that was another good line.
Sam's like, we have a guinea pig.
Yeah, Cass is like, you have a guinea pig.
Me.
When'd you get a guinea pig?
I can never quite catalog what kind of things I expect Cass should know and what he shouldn't. Like last week when he didn't know that cars ran on gas, I could kind of forgive that. But a guinea pig, that's just an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't Cass?
No, he's so innocent like that. Those little things. I think the writers do a really good job of every episode keeping true to that. Like that doesn't change. Those little things that we take for granted. Like PB&J.
Mm.
You know, I think they really stay true and do a good job sticking with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they find this syringe that the men of letters have, you know, kept hidden downstairs in the basement.
It was for an angel location spell, right?
Yeah, they needed the grace to find, yeah. And they could find whoever's grace it was, which was
It would be helpful to track Gadriel if they could extract it.
So can angels not just find each other? I guess not, because otherwise they would have been on... That's a stupid question. Never mind.
They would have been on Cass?
Yeah. I mean, we've been...
Yeah.
I regret ever. I'm so sorry, listeners.
Sam and Cass, you know, they go into, I guess, the little doctor's area. I don't know where that was.
Kind of like the dental chair?
Yes, yeah. And Cass...
In a scene that's not laced with innuendo, Cass penetrates Sam to extract his grace.
Yes.
Can you go a little deeper?
Yeah, he needed to, but first he said he couldn't. Sam told him to. But as this was happening, Sam was having flashbacks of when he was doing the trials and just everything that was happening to him, and his body was basically deteriorating.
Ungluing him.
Yeah.
Making him sick.
Yeah. I think back to where he was at the end of the trials.
Yeah, it was reverting his body back to before any healing that Gadriel had done to him.
Yeah, and we still don't know exactly how much he did to him, how much he healed him.
I really did like that scene because there wasn't a lot of, again, like cheesy, pointless action. It was just a really intense character moment, and it was both of them dealing with death and with everything they have to go through and what they have to sacrifice, done in a really kind of subtle way. Well, maybe not that subtle. The syringe was like this big. But like, I'm going to take this angel grace out of you, and then you'll go back to blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's fine. And then Cass gives him the whole speech about, hey, Winchester, stop trying to kill yourself.
Yeah, so they're always chasing death.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was a cool line. I did like that line. But yeah, so Cass gets some of it out, but it's not enough, and Sam basically tells him to, you know, continue it because they need to find Gadriel. Mm. They need to fix this.
But it's really, really hurting and affecting Sam. I mean, by now, Sam's nose is starting, like, you can see his eyes are starting to get red. He's got blood coming out of his eye. He's got blood coming out of his nose.
Mm-hmm. And so he ends up getting, I guess, enough out.
No, not enough. It didn't work.
Well, he thinks it's enough at the time.
He thought it was enough.
Really? He doesn't want to kill him.
I thought he decided just to stop and kind of hope, but he kind of knew it wasn't going to be enough because he looked at the sandwich.
Yeah, well, that the sandwich was what made him realize the purpose of life, and he didn't want to, as he said, he goes, I didn't want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
The old Cass would have killed you because it... What did he say?
It was for the bigger picture,
basically. It's for the bigger picture. So I would have killed you. But now, with the way my life has been and with what I've been through, I couldn't do it. I hope that it's enough. And I think he knew that it probably wasn't going
to
be enough.
I think he's just trying to get Dean back in the picture. I hope that didn't work. Better call Dean.
But so as he, you know, he extracted what he could, and as Sam kind of lies there with the bloody nose, Cass just touches him and heals him. He says, you're completely healed now. Well, why couldn't he have completely healed him before?
I thought that too.
Well, he said the something was resonating.
Yeah,
well,
I think he could have finished healing him, but then he was like, oh, wait, there's grace. Oh, wait, maybe this will be good. I'll stop.
Okay.
I think he could have gone that extra mile, but he was like, hey, there's some angel juice. Okay.
I just kind of thought it was a little crazy that if he continued, he was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he just stopped and was like, you're good.
We've talked a lot about that before, the sort of ambiguous healing powers of an angel who can bring someone back from the dead, unless it's Kevin.
Yeah.
But sometimes it takes a while to heal.
Yeah. And I just thought that was a weird thing that he just healed him immediately. And
I just chalk
like
it up
it was
to,
nothing.
To yes. I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to accept what I see.
So Sam and Cass, you know, they try the spell to find Gadriel. It does not work. And Cass kind of says, you know, we're going to need some help finding Metatron because he's basically the key to everything.
Mm-hmm. Hint, hint. Call my boyfriend. Hint, hint.
And they had a really awkward hug where Sam hugged Cass, but Cass
I don't think anyone who's 6'4 can not awkwardly hug someone who's not also 6'4.
Yeah.
I mean, Misha's like 6'2, but it's still going to be like...
That was really cute.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And, you know, Cass kind of says, hey, we need some help. And
Sam's like, no.
No, I'm good.
But then next week on Supernatural.
We'll get to that.
All right.
So then the beefy main part of this episode was they end up finding the original Knight of Hell, Cain. And he's
who is now an accomplished apiculturist.
Beekeeper.
Googled that.
So there, he is the keeper of the first blade
and the
bees that can kill. Yes,
but
they
before we find him, they go to.
Oh yes, they do. Because
Crowley and
God, Tom, you're doing it all backwards.
Well, Crowley,
this person was not in the episode that much.
Crowley, well, like typical fashion.
Yes,
we only get to see her for.
Wait, we found the girl.
But
that long.
Dead in the next.
They're talking in the bar. As the cute little waitress goes by, and I made the comment that, well, I could have been cast as that waitress.
Yes, you could have been.
I could have been.
And Crowley said, that waitress is trouble with the capital VD.
That could have been me, guys.
You could have had that VD.
I could have had. So they're talking in the bar. Mm-hmm. They realize that Crowley has got to help Dean. They're going to have to work together on this, mm-hmm. and Dean isn't really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But he says that Crowley says that if they look in the book of the Winchesters, his father.
The journal came back, you guys. I don't know when the last time we saw it was, but Dean just had it in his pocket.
I feel like we always see it. I feel like it's always sitting on the desk, probably, right? I don't know.
Maybe it's one of those items that's always placed.
Yeah.
Why do you guys want to take this away
from
me?
Sorry. He's really
excited. Okay, it just came back. He just, you know, it must have been in that jacket pocket. He hasn't worn that jacket in a while.
It's the only book he's ever read, you guys.
It probably is. they do find that John Winchester,
Papa Winchester,
yes, he found the first blade,
which is the jawbone of an ass.
Is that
from
what
the Bible, you mm-hmm. guys? Well, they said in the episode it's what Cain used to kill Abel.
Yes,
is that mm-hmm. canon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't know it because I looked it up and it says that Samson used it to kill 1,000 Philistines.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Tom.
So they go find this girl, Tara. Well, first, Dean does take Crowley to the
storage unit.
And I just want to point this out because they show a brief shot of a motorcycle when they go in.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a thing on Tumblr, of course. Jensen Ackles talking about some supernatural convention. His vision for the end of the show would be Sam going off somewhere and, you know, being happy and getting a normal life and stuff, and he would give him the car, and Dean would ride off into the night on a motorcycle because he would not have a need for a second seat anymore. So I don't know if that's some kind of foreshadowing. You know, they're doing all this stuff with death. They're mm-hmm. getting into some real good stuff. I don't know. Keep an eye out, guys.
Okay. That's a good little tidbit.
I just blew my predictions.
I like it. That's good.
Thanks.
They find this woman, Tara, who helped John Winchester to destroy this demon.
Who's basically just Joe.
Yeah.
From the earlier seasons. She had that hunter bark, you guys remember?
Yes.
Back in the day.
She was a little buffer.
She was tough.
Tara was ripped.
She could hang out with Bobby. She was like Sarah Connor.
Yes. Yeah, she
from
was.
From Terminator, you guys.
So they find Tara. She tells them that she could find a location for the first blade, but she needed one more ingredient, which was Kraken.
Kraken marrow or Kraken?
I think it was
eye juice.
The essence of Kraken.
The essence of Kraken.
Yes.
Going with marrow.
And so, of course, who has tons of that just sitting
in Belize?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crowley. Yeah. And he says he can get there before she can say pronto or presto or something like that. And she doesn't want to help because she knows he's a demon.
Yeah.
And she throws holy water on Dean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I actually wrote this down when that happened. I looked up the episode Phantom Traveler, episode 104, season 1. They established that if you say Christo to a demon, it makes them flinch and expose themselves, and you can see their eyes. And so you can just say Christo to a demon, and they go...
Did she say that to him?
No, they've never said that again, Tom. They've never once used that again. Just like they've never once used the exorcism on a tape. They have all these great things for using demon. They're just like, splash, stab.
It's better visual.
I agree.
Plus, that's a lot of post to go back and have to say that to everybody in every episode.
No, I know you have to cut these things when you accidentally build too big a framework. Mm-hmm. And I like the show, but every now and then it does something that makes me
wish continuity purposes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that Crowley, when Tara was kind of questioning them, he was like, oh, you know, yeah, we're friends. We're besties.
I love that he keeps poking Dean. Because at this point, I think... I really like a character that can point out the absurdities in the show. That makes sense because Crowley's always breaking the fourth wall.
Yes, fourth wall. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so he'll point out that Dean, by all rights, should just kill Crowley. Crowley will sometimes help, but more often than not just hurts him. But he just loves pointing out, like, hey, we're best friends. I'll kiss you. we're gonna marry each other. What are you going to do, kill me? Of course you're not going to kill me.
Because Dean not needs yet. Him around. For now, at
Dean
least.
Needs not another yet. Boyfriend.
Yes. So they, you know, they light up this. They do the spell, light up the map. It finds out that it's in Missouri, which is where.
Okay, I know I like to bring up a lot of points and complain a lot. I just want to say that this was a map of just the continental U.S., and if that knife had been in, like, Italy or India, the whole map would have just burned up, and they'd be like, oh, crap, I don't know where it is then. Thank God
well,
it was in
Well, they
have
Missouri. To drive everywhere. They can't fly, so.
It's true.
And they always get there within a day.
Exactly. Hours. So, yeah, so they go to Missouri. They find this beekeeper. And Crowley's freaked out right away. Right when he gets out of the car, he's like, we got to leave. We can't stay here. We need to leave.
Now, is this an act he puts up from go?
I think so.
I think so, too. Yes.
She says yes. Yep. Bad question, Travis.
I think he – I mean, which one we find out later. Mm-hmm. I think he was definitely starting to get Dean, like, why shouldn't we be here? What's going on?
Okay, so here's my question then. If Crowley was never afraid of Cain because he's always been playing the field – that's not the expression I mean. Playing both sides. but Cain can, with a wave of his hand, make Crowley stop talking. Cain does have some kind of power over Crowley.
Yeah.
He does, and he can snap his fingers and something happens.
So is a knight of hell more powerful than the king of hell?
I would say no, because Abaddon's a knight. But this isn't just a knight of hell. This is the first knight of hell, the father of murder, who does have an amount of power over Crowley, but who Crowley is still not afraid of. Totally.
He made major deals for his life, so which we find out later on between him and Abel.
He stops Crowley from speaking. Crowley's shaking the glass. And,
oh, you know what? I just answered my own question. I'm sorry. He knows that Cain is not going to kill anyone or anything ever again.
Yeah,
so
because
that's why
he's retired. He kept saying he's retired.
Sure.
He doesn't want to do anything.
Okay.
Cain is out of the business. And Dean's just like, no, this isn't happening. You know, we need that. We need the first blade.
Sure. Dean Winchester solution. Just yell at the problem and threaten it until it gives in.
Just beat things up until
which in his defense,
somebody
always
gives him what
works.
He wants. Yes. And, you know, we found that Cain, you know, I guess he basically made his wife Colette.
No,
or did she just come up?
A wife.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought that,
made his wife, Tom?
Well, because he was saying that he made the knights, and I thought he made her, too, to be in his, like she knew what he was, but still.
You were watching more fantastic episode than we were.
More romantic.
It must have been.
No, they met, but before we do that, we find out that he is the father of murder.
Yes.
And Cain, he killed Abel and became a demon, therefore killing people.
Yes, because he sacrificed himself, basically,
to Lucifer, and will forever live in hell so that Abel can live in heaven.
Yes.
Which I liked. That was an interesting
beautiful.
Retroactive history.
Exactly, because we look at it, at first they make it seem like he's all bad and he just went around killing people, and we actually find out, well, he did this for a reason.
Yes,
and
for
then
his
we find,
wife.
And then we find out why he stops, because he meets his wife. And they fall in love, and she says that he's better than that, and he doesn't want to do it anymore. Mm. So he stops.
For years.
Since 150.
Ish.
I thought that actor was great. What was his name, Tom? Did you find
Tim,
it?
Tim.
I loved him.
Yeah.
Tim, he was amazing.
Yes, he's awesome. He's on Psych.
He was a debonair looking man.
Yes, he is. So back to what's going on. So the demon that was following them ends up at the ranch, I guess.
After he kills Tara, off-screen, doesn't even get to be on screen.
No, he peeled her skin off.
I don't want to see that on screen, but I mean, it sucks that they put in a really awesome female character again.
And then
kill her off-screen, and also made her, okay, I'm not going to say, like, betray the Winchesters like she's bad, because if someone took all my skin off, I would probably do whatever they wanted to. But it's just, it kind of
takes
her toughness away.
I would rather justify the murder by seeing it, and not by taking her skin off, but I would rather justify her presence and what she did and her help by seeing her die then. Wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
Especially because they showed her, like, fighting back, but they showed her shooting at him, but that was about it. They didn't show anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a...
Just a typical complaint we have. Not enough ladies.
So another one bites the dust on that one. And, you know, all these demons start surrounding the house. And, you know, Dean and Crowley are trying to make a deal with
I have a question.
With Kane. Yes.
A bunch of demons start driving up to the house. Can they not teleport anymore?
I don't know. I thought
that
was weird,
Crowley?
Too.
Is Crowley? Demons have been able to teleport in the past, right?
Yeah.
But now they're just driving.
I don't know. I thought I found that weird, but I think it just made it look... I think visually it made it
look
more...
Oh, no, it looked
great.
And
remember, Kane's house was different. Like, they couldn't get in.
They couldn't, yeah.
Nice.
So that's why they can't teleport in, so I think they had to technically drive there. The way that they could get there.
Okay. So they teleported to the edge of the road
and then drove
in.
Sure. It's fine with me.
And Kane trained all the Knights of Hell, including Abaddon.
Yes.
Which is what we find out. That was...
And then
Abaddon kills Colette.
Yes. Well, basically, Kane
kills her.
I felt like... Okay, yeah, he definitely...
She was breaking her bones.
Yeah.
I thought that last one was her neck, which is maybe just paralyzed, which in 1863 is, you know, that's death. Not being paralyzed now. That's pretty much death. But then, yeah, Kane stabs her with the filthy old bone.
I feel like it was more him stabbing her that killed her.
Yeah, that was the reason.
Because Abaddon was escaping out of her body.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So then he obviously felt, you know, the one thing that he did love in life, he destroyed himself.
Mm-hmm. Which I like that because, you know, as we find out later, the first blade can only be used in conjunction with the Mark of Cain, and he gives that to Dean because he finds him worthy. And I really like that they have that connection of everything I love dies.
Yes, yeah.
Usually by my hand.
And he was making the comment, too, that, you know, I killed my brother, and Dean's like, well, I didn't kill my brother. And he goes, well, where is he right now, then?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When he said that, I tried to think back if he ever did kill his brother, because they die a lot.
Yeah, I don't think he...
No, because I was just railing the last episode about how he refused to kill him. I'm inconsistent and awful.
So Kane ends up letting these demons into the house to basically, you know, have Dean put on a show for him.
Yeah.
Like, he just wanted to see what Dean could do.
If he was worthy.
Yeah.
If he was worthy of the mark.
Yes. So Dean, you know, of course he kicks all their butts and kills them all.
I mean, I like it a lot, and the fight choreography on the show is always really great.
Mm.
I do think it's weird that a test to see if you're worthy... of the mark of the first murderer is killed two people.
No, he killed three.
Three.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know it was three. Sorry. Three people.
A girl and two dudes. The demon with the face.
Yeah, but he also, you know, he knew who they were when they showed up to his house.
No, I'm just being me. Of course he's worthy. He's killed lots of people.
He didn't need to kill anybody to prove that he was worthy, but that was, I think, for the viewer's benefit.
Sure, just wanted to look into his eyes when he killed a man.
As he sat there and, you know...
Shucked his corn.
Yeah, got his dinner ready.
Which seemed to be just corn. Yeah. No judgments, that's fine. No. But
he must really like corn.
If you ever invite me over for dinner, Tom, and you're like, I have 4 years of corn...
I hope that's
enough.
I'm going
to order a pizza.
And then Kane tells Dean and them that he doesn't have the blade.
Mm-hmm.
So...
It's at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes, but he does have one thing, the mark. The mark of Cain on his arm.
And
yes,
the only way the blade works is with the mark. Yes. They have to work in conjunction together.
We're going to see a bunch of that at the next Comic-Con, you guys.
Yeah.
Don't just draw it on, okay? Learn the prosthetics. It's not hard. YouTube it.
It almost looked like... I couldn't tell what... It must look like...
The airbender, yeah. It was an airbender.
Yeah, like an F.
Oh, an F?
Yeah. Kind of looked like when he had it, you know, on his arm. But so... Cain ends up giving... He finds Dean suitable, gives him the mark... And he says, you know,
right,
always come,
hole.
Yeah, always come with a price. Everything on this show comes with a price.
And I did like that Dean wasn't like, whoa, what's the price? He's like, yeah, I know. Probably something terrible
is going
to happen.
No, but I wanted to know.
He's like, you had me at kill the bitch.
Yeah, that's
and that's
great.
All he wanted to know.
I want to know, too, but I really – oh, predictions.
Gotcha. So then as all – basically demons surround the house, and Kane says to Dean, I will give you this mark. But once you kill Abaddon, I will come calling for you, and you need to use that on me, too.
What he says is, I'm going to call you, and you have to find me. And I was like, what?
Well, I think that...
Can't teleport? Yeah, just don't make me find you.
I think that's kind of, as he was apologizing to his wife's grave, that's like his way of coming right with being in the right or doing right.
Oh, definitely. And I really like that as a... You know, even though briefly we saw the character, I like that as a character choice. Mm-hmm. It's really, really great. I guess there is a kind of really cool, you know, journey, lone rider walking out into the west to, you know, kill the, I don't know what I'm saying. the gunslinger chasing yes. the man in black mm-hmm. kind of thing. But I would still just be like, do I have to find you? I have to pay for all this gas with apparently still stolen credit cards.
Yes, of course. Well, now maybe they have money from Men of Letters now. Maybe they have a gas station.
We always talk about that.
We talked about that. Yeah, there's that big vault of money in the back.
Getting money.
So he, you know, Dean gets the mark now. He has the mark on his arm. And Kane basically zaps them out of there. And Dean and Crowley split.
Well, they watch all the demons go inside, yes. mm-hmm. which is great because you see them all surrounding him and he's rolling his sleeves up and Crowley just says, like, they're trapped in there with him. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I wish we could have seen what not happened? Just more of the – I mean, the that wrath. Light was cool, but yes, I wanted to see
what I liked just the red light in the house. It's so evocative. What's happening in there? Why is it taking so long?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it should have taken a split second, but hey, there was a lot of demons inside. So that was – I mean, that was a lot of Abaddon's probably army of people that he had inside the house. So – and, you know, he has no – love lost for Abaddon. He hates her, so...
I bet there's still a lot of demons out there.
I'm sure there are.
It's like any demon in hell can just come out and...
But that was at least 200 or 300,
always,
maybe.
She's what? Always finding new people to follow her.
Mm-hmm.
So then we, you know, the end of the episode, you know, Dean and Crowley are in the car. And, you know, Crowley made a really good point. He said, you know, nobody hates Dean as much as he does himself. I like that line a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning Dean doesn't hate anyone except...
And Crowley's like, Crowley's like, I even tried to hate you as much as, you know, you hate yourself, but I can't. Mm-hmm. I still can't. And then Dean figures out that Crowley has played him the whole time, this
of
whole
course.
Episode.
Stupid Dean. Yeah. Stupid, letting him, beautiful Dean.
Letting him, you know, show off and, you know, put a prize fighter in front of Kane to show that he's worthy of the mark. And yeah, Crowley, like, you know,
so
beat that guy. And that was an awesome quote by Crowley. He was like, you may be good, but I'm Crowley.
Yeah.
I think that was a line of the night for me. And Dean basically tells Crowley, just go find the blade.
After he hits him.
Yes, he does, yeah. Which
That doesn't
do
anything.
Even do anything,
I know.
Demons don't
a little.
Care.
Yes.
Retribution.
Yeah, exactly. He at least got some kind of payback for Crowley. And of course, Dean was pissed that Tara died, you know.
Quite rightly.
Yeah. And Crowley's like, you know. Broken eggs,
omelets,
et cetera. Yeah. Crowley's like, I don't care. I don't care how many people die. Don't you get that already? But I thought it was a good episode. We didn't see Sam and Cass except for the hug at the end. And then next week, Garth is back.
Yay!
And now he's a werewolf.
Yay!
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to fit into it, but he's and Sam and Dean are back together.
See, I'm curious about Garth being a werewolf because up until... Benny, there's been a very strict pass-fail, kill the monster policy.
Mm-hmm.
Dean killed Sam's little buddy when he was a kid, mm-hmm. Jewel Stady or whatever.
Yeah.
They
did let that one werewolf go.
Sam's girlfriend?
No, the girl, where the episode where it was just basically like found footage episode. She was a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
They let her go.
Did they let her go or
yes.
did she get away?
They never found her. I think she kind of left, but they didn't go after her.
Hmm.
They let her kind of
go. So she could still be out there.
Gray yes. area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Coming back like
okay.
Garth.
Maybe she could come back and maybe she's
with
I'm Garth.
Fine with it because, like I said, since Benny, it's been a sort of a more gray area softening. He's working with the King of Hell now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, Sam had to shoot his girlfriend who was a werewolf that one time.
Yeah. That's kind of, I don't know. I guess Dean maybe makes the rules and Sam just abides by them.
Of course.
But let's see. Do you guys have any news?
I do.
Week?
I have some news and gossip.
TV news.
All right. On ScreenRant.com, I know I've told you guys about this before, and we've talked about it, that they are doing a spinoff. And the network and shows producers said, CW president Mark Pedowitz said he saw a finished pilot script, and the show will be set in Chicago.
Okay.
Supernatural's main characters will cross over to the spinoff at some point. And then Jared told Perez Hilton, said that episode 20 of Supernatural is going to be the launch of the new show.
Ooh.
And he thinks it's awesome and a cool story to tell. He also wants to do anything to make the fans happy. And he said by the characters, like the main characters crossing over, said they won't do it till probably episode 7 or 8 because they want to make sure that the show itself can stand on its own two legs before bringing in like Sam or Dean or whoever else might.
But we still don't know what it is, though.
Still don't know what it is. Know it's set in Chicago, and he thinks it's awesome. And a cool
I think
story
I'm right, because I think that bunker is set in Chicago.
I thought it wasn't.
Or Illinois. Somewhere.
So, yeah, that's
awesome.
That's the gossip for now. So we found out a few more details about the spinoff.
That's very exciting.
So episode 20 of this season.
Episode 20, yep.
Nice. Okay, cool. Can we get to that now? we're only up to 11.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay. I'll let one of you guys go first. Go
okay, ahead, I'll start. So we don't, in the next episode, we didn't see any of Crowley, but I think that's because Crowley's out looking for the blade in the ocean or wherever he is. So I think he's going to be gone. Although that confuses me, since he was able to go to Belize and get the Kraken, like in a snap of a finger, but he can't find the blade that quickly.
Well, he knows where Belize is.
Well, yeah.
So I don't.
Well, I guess the ocean's really big.
It is, and I don't know
which
what
ocean
searching
is it in?
The
he said it was in the deepest part of the ocean.
So I don't know what searching the ocean means for. Does he just like appear as Crowley and like walk along the ocean, or is he like
can
in
we get
demon
a shot
smoke
of that?
Form?
And it, and could it be in any ocean, so that he has to search all four? 70% of the globe is Earth is water.
Yeah.
So he has to search. He might have to search all four. So I guess
I'm sure he'll just come back and have it.
I'm sure he'll come back next episode and have it, but. Anyway, so I'm predicting that, yes, by we won't see it next week, but by the following week, we'll have this bone because, like you said, this is a monster episode coming up. So then we'll go back to moving forward more with the story.
Hopefully. So yeah. Wait,
okay. Go ahead.
Can I go, Tom?
Yeah, you
is
can go.
Is that okay?
I'll let you go now.
Yeah. yeah, like I was saying, I don't like that they're bringing everything to a grinding halt with a Monster of the Week episode. But I do love that they're bringing Garth back, who's been gone for two seasons. He was just a voice on the other end of a phone, theoretically watching Kevin on that boat.
Yeah.
Just couldn't see him. So I like that they're bringing him back. There's a potential that they can still move a lot of the themes they've been building forward with this, especially like I was talking about the not killing monsters theme, because it looks like he's found a way to deal with it. Like, oh, I'm a werewolf. It's cool. I just eat people when I'm a human or whatever that episode was.
Or they
was.
Just get some, yeah.
So I'm thinking, because I don't think they're going to kill Garth.
I hope not.
I don't think they will. I really feel like the show is growing and getting to a more mature place where, like I keep saying, they're dealing with death in a real way. They're not as black and white with the killing of the monsters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say one thing.
Okay.
Garth is a male, so he will not die.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Good point, Tom.
Yeah. See? So, but if he was a girl.
Dead.
Yeah. He'd be dead already. This
yeah.
Episode,
yeah. I say 2 minutes into that episode, they're like, you're a werewolf, killing you. Yeah. I feel like, you know, coming up is, I don't know, more of, I think it's more of Dean and Crowley working together. Hopefully, you know, we get more of Sam and Cass together. Mm-hmm. I like the dynamic of both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I want to see this episode stretched out for the rest of the season.
And I'd like to see them, you know, separate. See, Dean and Sam separated more. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Over the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's about it for this week. Where can they find you guys?
Great episode.
You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wegner and my blog, lindsaywegner.blogspot.com.
As always, you can find me and my work at rolling-high.com. That's a web series I'm working on with some friends of mine.
And you can find me on Twitter at TomTheCom. And tomorrow night at 10 o'clock for WWE Main Event and 11 o'clock for The Tomorrow People, which we just started last week. And we will see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Bye, guys.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.